Merry Christmas, brothers and sisters.
Merry Christmas, Father.
On this most solemn night, we recall the birth of our Lord and Savior. And as we hear in the gospel this evening, Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem because Caesar wanted to know how many people were in his lands. He wanted a census. And so it was required that all of the people return to the village originally from which their tribe lived or from where they were born in order to be enrolled there. Joseph, being of the tribe of David, returns to Bethlehem, the city of David, in order to be enrolled with all of those of the tribe of David. Now, Bethlehem is not the biggest town in the world, not even in Israel. It's quite small. So it's not surprising that there was no room for them in the inn. All of the people would have been traveling and looking for a place to stay. And you can imagine Joseph traveling with the Blessed Virgin, who was 9 months pregnant, ready to give birth. They weren't going very fast. So most likely everybody else got there ahead of time. And all the good rooms were taken. Now, when the scriptures say there was no room for them in the inn, I'm sure there may have been inns, but really what it means is people would typically rent out rooms in their house. So you can imagine Joseph being concerned not only for caring for Our Lady, but with the birth of the Savior, wanted to find a decent place for this birth to take place. So he must have gone from door to door. I can imagine him begging, pleading, please, anywhere, just a corner, somewhere safe for my family. But he gets turned away at every door. There's just no room. Finally, he finds someone who has a stable. The scripture scholars speculate it was probably some little half stable, half cave. And they said, well, there's no room in the house, but you can use the stable with the animals. Joseph takes it. At this point, it's probably late in the evening. He's worried. They just need a place for the night. So he goes in and he cleans it up the best he can. It's a stable. Although some of the mystics say that the angels came and helped. I always like thinking of that. And it's in this stable for animals in the town of Bethlehem where the Savior of the world is born. And after he has been swaddled by his mother, if you're familiar, that's when you take a newborn infant and you wrap them really tight up in clothing, she laid him in the manger. Now you know that the manger is a feeding trough for animals. It's just a little wooden basket, more or less, where they would put hay or things for the animals to eat. So this is where Mary lays the Christ child. Obviously, for us who love the Lord and who know who he truly is, this on some level should be shocking and somewhat scandalous. God incarnate, the King of heaven and earth, the Savior of the world, he's not born in a palace. There's no room for him in anyone else's home. He's born in a stable and he's laid in a manger. And yet, if we were shocked or surprised by this, we'd be wrong. Because this was always his plan. Do you think Jesus had not arranged the time and place of his birth from the creation of the world? He chose this. He chose this. But why? And we could spend all night reflecting on what the saints and the fathers of the church have taught about why Jesus specifically chose to be born into the world in this way. But I think it's very important that we consider, for our own reflection, what the name Bethlehem means. Many of you should know this by now. Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. because Bethlehem was kind of known for baking, and so they called it House of Bread. Very simple, nothing fancy, nothing theological. But that's the name of the town where Jesus chose to be born. He was born in the House of Bread. And in that town, the one place he wanted to be born was a poor stable where animals slept. And after being born there, the one place he wanted his mother to lay him as an infant was in a feeding trough for those animals. Why? He was preparing us for the Holy Eucharist. He was trying to show us how humble he truly is and how he came into the world not only to save us from our sins, but to give himself to us in the most humble way possible. We might think it's humbling to be a baby, right? God chooses to be a child, helpless, can't even change his own diapers. Mary had to do it for him. I'm sure Joseph helped. It is even more humbling for God to become food for us to eat. And so to prepare his people for that great gift, he set the stage by his birth. We are these animals, these human animals that God chooses to feed with his own flesh and his own blood. When we celebrate Mass, we obviously remember the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord. That's what brings about our salvation. But we can never forget, every time we approach this holy altar, the birth of our Savior and how humbly he comes to us. And notice that in the incarnation, Jesus doesn't wait for us to kind of get our act together, to turn from sin. No, on his own impetus, he comes into the world. He comes into our lives and he searches us out. And he says, I have come for you. I have come to be yours. It's not based on our merit or worth, merely on his goodness, his love. And he doesn't stop there. After approaching us, we're still unworthy. I mean, imagine if Joseph, while walking through Bethlehem, did find somebody who had a spare corner in the basement of their house, and they said, yeah, sure, we got some more room, we'll squeeze you in. It's dirty, we haven't swept it in months, but hey, it's at least a place. Of course, Joseph would have been grateful, our Lord would have been pleased, no issues there. But imagine the owner of the house finding out in heaven that that's the best they provided for the Lord. Now, obviously in heaven, they wouldn't be too distraught. They're in God's presence and he would have forgiven any failing on their part, especially because they would not have recognized him. You and I don't have that excuse. Every time Jesus comes to us in the Holy Mass, under the form of bread and wine, we know who he is. And he knocks on the door of our heart and he says, is there room here for me? And sadly, so often, we Catholics haphazardly throw open the door and say, oh yeah, sure, there's a corner somewhere I'm not using. We're not always prepared to receive him. Now, there's very little that you and I can do to actually prepare ourselves for the Lord. He's too good and glorious, and we're too broken and sinful. But that's where he steps in once more, and he says, don't worry, I will prepare you to be my dwelling place. I'll do that. And so he gives us his church, and he gives us her sacraments, and he says, don't worry, you can be baptized. And all your sins can be washed away. And if you fall into sin again, don't worry. You can go to confession, and I'll forgive your sins once more. I can always clean you and make you a worthy dwelling place. But do we take advantage of that? Do we dare to approach the body of our Lord without hearts and souls made pure? Not by our own efforts, but by his grace. But for those of us who do, for those of us who always try to receive the Lord with a clear conscience, it's in these moments in particular that we must rejoice, because our Lord has come among us. Our Lord has come to dwell within us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.